May Jesus bless you with his peace. I'm Father Matthew, Grandpa at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, Kingman, Arizona, celebrating the 9 o'clock morning mass on this third Sunday of Lent, the 28th of February, 2016, liturgical cycle year C. First reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, A, 13 to 15, Psalm 103, first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, 10 to 12, the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On one occasion, some people came and told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Jesus told them this parable. There once was a man who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" The gardener said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. As we try to find meaning for our Lent, we also are trying to find meaning for our own lives, especially when our lives are filled with suffering. All through the Bible, we see attempts by various scripture authors, whether it be the prophets, or the kings, or in the New Testament, the apostles, trying to make sense out of our sufferings here on earth. Suffering in itself has no meaning. But we see in the book of Genesis where there's the first attempt to understand why we suffer. The sin of Adam and Eve caused them to be punished by God. The woman's labor pains would be increased, and the man would have to till the soil by the sweat of his brow to earn his living. We see, like in the book of Judith, an attempt to understand, even though at that time the Jews were very faithful to God, that they were also being afflicted by their enemies, and trying to make sense. And Judith points out, it's as a warning. God doesn't want us to fall away from him. And if he is chastising us, it is to warn us not to leave him. In the book of Job, there is the whole question of why does an innocent man have to suffer? It really doesn't give any answer. It only raises the question and banters it back and forth. Is it because he sinned? Is it because others have sinned in his family? The book ends by God asking Job the questions. And Job has no answer to all the questions that God puts to him. So he says, I will close my mouth, I will stop complaining, and I will just behold the mystery and the power of God. It's only when Jesus comes down to us that we begin to find meaning for our sufferings. In and of itself, it makes no sense for Jesus, the innocent, the holy God and true man, to suffer even to the point of death, death on the cross. It makes no sense unless there is something very serious on the other side that demands that kind of suffering. What could be that something that is more serious? The only way to understand is that our sins, the sins of mankind, are so grievous, so offensive to God, that there has to be a price paid. We've talked about this before, but it's good for us to keep reviewing until we understand it. All of our sins, no matter how small, merit eternal punishment. We lose the right to be in the presence of God because we are sons of Adam and Eve. But how are we going to pay the infinite or the eternal punishment that our sins have merited when we are not God and we don't live forever? We are born, and now we have the promise of immortality. It can only be done and satisfied by He who is God, but also man, and that is Jesus. Jesus then takes on tremendous suffering, so that St. Paul will say, by His stripes we are healed. By what He suffered, we are forgiven. We are expected to make up the temporal punishment that our sins have merited. It's not like we're all of a sudden set free without any accountability, as many we hear in other Christian denominations say, your sins are forgiven, you can do whatever you want, you're saved. You don't have to do anything more. But that is not Catholic teaching. It's not what we find in the New Testament. St. Peter writes that if we who are just are suffering so much for the sake of the gospel, how much more will those who are not just suffer for their sins? Peter says it's better for us to suffer for the sake of the gospel than for committing a crime. It helps us understand our suffering. In our gospel reading, we hear about two tragedies. Pilate mixing the blood of some Galileans with their sacrifices. But Jesus adds to that, well, what about those people in Jerusalem who were killed with the falling tower of Siloam? Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else? Certainly not. But if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. A warning, not a threat. So in our Lent, we make ourselves aware of the seriousness of our sins. We begin to examine our conscience more thoroughly and to see where we have gone wrong, where we have offended God, of what God finds displeasing in us. And then with all of our might, all of our love, making amends with God. Thus we use the word reconciliation, to be reconciled with God. God will not violate our free will, but he waits for us to freely and willingly suffer for our sins. Pope Paul VI, in his document on the revision of indulgences, points out that the severity of the punishments God imposes by his justice and mercy teaches us how serious our sins are. Thus it is that we humble ourselves and have to admit we are not God. We are not like God. We're more like Adam and Eve with our fallen nature. And we need to repent. The more that we identify with the sufferings of Jesus by offering our sufferings with his on the cross, the more Christ-like we become, the more pleasing we become to the Heavenly Father. So our sufferings then do have meaning. They do have purpose. They teach us how serious our relationship or lack of relationship is with God. Even as individuals, even as a society at large. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But we know that many refuse the salvation, the mercy that God extends to them. And they almost insist by their actions to have God throw them into hell. We make our Lent for ourselves, yes, but to be more like Christ, who gave his life for others. We learn to give our lives in suffering for others. We all suffer. We all have to suffer. We all will die. We have to die as punishment for our sins. But Jesus wants to turn that grief, the sorrow of death, into a new way of life, an eternal life, so that we can look at death merely as a door through which we must pass, that the sufferings we have, whether we feel they are just or unjust, are always good for us, as they purify us and conform us to the likeness of Christ Jesus crucified. The more we do so, the more then we will share in the victory of Christ over death and over all evil. There is no other way to make sense of our sufferings. Thus we find some of the saints who understand this, even the simplest, the less educated saints, captured this. So they would pray to the Lord, "I'm suffering for you. If you want to give me more suffering, go ahead. I'll take it. If only I can save souls. If only I can be more conformed to you, O Lord Jesus." St. Francis begged through his converted life to be able to know what it is to love as Jesus has loved. He wanted to feel in his own body the pains of Jesus' crucifixion. And his biographers point out that 2 years before his death, the Lord did just that. The Lord appeared to him and imposed upon his body the very wounds of Christ, even with the nails in his hands and his feet. Did it cause Francis to suffer? Extremely so. Did it hinder his getting around? Absolutely. But now he was understanding for the next 2 years of his life how much Jesus loves us and what he is willing to suffer to save our souls from the fires of hell. It is love that makes suffering not only bearable, but desirable. It is love that turns our suffering from being a punishment to being a share in the glory of Christ. It is suffering that makes us a sacrifice pleasing to the Heavenly Father as He is pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Thank you.